done that, or I've been a Christian long enough that I know everything there is to know about God. Anybody there yet?
No.
I am so glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that, because guess what? We have all of eternity to discover all the attributes of God. I don't think we just get a little smidgety taste of what he is like. But can't you wait? Oh, I just can't wait till our faith becomes sight, when we get to stand in his presence, in his kingdom, just taking it all in. Kind of a little jealous of some of them have gone ahead of us. I think of John Lucas, was able to attend his memorial service and just think, wow, he's now, all the years that he has been preaching and sharing the word of God, and now he's standing before him and just enjoying his presence. It reminds me of something I heard a lady say. I think of John and all the things, like, I have no idea to the extent of John's ministry across the world. I thought I knew, but I did not. And I found out more at that memorial service about the things that he was doing. But here's the thing. I still remember just this. It was an older lady. Someone was talking to them about all the things that she had done and been involved in. Oh, that's, you know. And she wasn't a worldwide person. She was just doing things within her church body and in the community. And they said, so, you know, what's your reward? She says, crowns. Wasn't, you know, I'm going to get crowns from God. And the interviewer said, well, why is that important to you? And her response was, because I get to throw them at the feet of Jesus. I get to lay my crowns at the feet of Jesus. The more I have, the more I can lay at his feet and honor him. And I thought, oh, wow, is that beautiful or what? And I think of John in that. And it's like, Lord, help us all to be like that and doing that. Well, again, I want to take us back, because it's been a couple of weeks. We're going to do kind of a quick review. I'm going to start with, okay, this is part two. Why do we want to know God's attributes? Why is it important to us to know? Well, I'm going to start with this verse from Jesus. It says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their hearts, but believes that what they have said will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, what has that got to do with God's attributes? Well, let's just take again a look at this verse. We're looking at the does not doubt in their hearts, believe you have received it. God's promises and what God says about us and what he has done for us, we need to be believing in our hearts. And then we'll see it flow out into our lives. Now, let me ask you, how many of you trust somebody you've never met or know very little about? How many of us would say it's not very wise? In fact, Krista kind of shared it this morning. You know, you want some wisdom in not completely trusting everything over. In fact, as she explained, even Jesus said she didn't trust herself over to man. However, we can trust God, but why? Why should we trust him? Why should we believe what he says? Well, again, this comes, you know, how many times have we heard Paul say, get to know God, let's know God, to know God. I pray that you would know God. I would pray that he would know more about his love. I pray you'd know him. The resurrection of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus, all kinds of things to know. But how much of us really know? Now, there are going to be areas in our life that are in our hearts where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I asked this last time, how many of you know you are saved? Show of hands. If you know you're saved, nothing can change that. You have in your heart, you've established in your heart, you persuaded in your heart, that work of Jesus can't be changed for you. It is a done deal. And so we know, and we want our hearts to be persuaded, not to doubt, and then we know we've received it. We've received salvation, and we believe it, because we know we've persuaded our hearts. So, again, why do we want to know God's attributes? It's to establish our hearts in the truth about God, and in doing so, growing in trust, believing him to be all he says he is, removing our doubts. If you trust in your heart and do not doubt, but believe, you will receive, and it will be yours. This is all about how wonderful he is. We look at Abraham. We looked at all these scriptures. I'm not going to put that last one up. We'll talk about that another day. We looked at all of these scriptures, and I'm just going to pop them up there. You can read them again, that talk about Abraham. He believed even though it was impossible, but he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And there are times where we, I don't know about you, I'm going to use the me word. I sometimes doubt some of the promises of God are for me. I find the enemy gets in there with his lies and his whatevers, and I try to lean on my understanding, which is really something the enemy is speaking to me, as opposed to what the Lord has said. You know, one of the things we're going to do this morning is we're going to take communion. And Jesus said, is Jesus a liar?
No.
And Jesus said, this is my body. And Isaiah tells us that by his stripes in that body, we will be healed. And we struggle with that sometimes because it's not happening when we want it, how we want it. But it is ours. And we have to press in and keep trusting. And it's like, Lord, where I doubt, help my unbelief. Help my doubt. Help me there. Okay, I want to move on. We talked about one of the main attributes of God is he is love. And we have to understand everything God does, he does through love and for love. And that was one of his greatest attributes. Again, I'll put up all these scriptures if you didn't get them last time. That everything he does is in love and love towards us. And so when we're struggling with things, it's like, Lord, how many of you have ever, well, okay, I'll give you my childhood story, and I think I've shared it with you before. It was after school, I went over to a friend's house and then called my mom to say I was at my friend's house. And my mom said, no, come home. I was not happy about that. I was obedient in that I came home, but not obedient in an attitude when I walked in the door. My mom was, opened the door, and my mom was standing in the kitchen, and I was so angry. And forgive me, Lord, but I remember, I hate you. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw my dad on my couch, who was home early from work. I just beelined it to my bedroom, and he was right there after me. Tune me in, if I can put it that way. God says, do not, you know, honor your mother and your father. Now, I'm not going to say I was a believer then. I wasn't. But it made no difference. My mother deserved better than that. But I wanted my way. And so I bring this back to his love. You see, when my father came into that room, he was teaching me about love and loving me by making me understand. I'm not going to say he beat me or anything. He didn't do anything like that. But he did kind of tune me in, if I can put it that way. My mother deserved better, and I deserved to know better, the better way. And in my father's love of disciplining me, I came to understand and respect. And like I say, I stand today regretting ever saying that to that beautiful woman. Our father, our heavenly Father, loves us like that. Now, again, whoops, sorry. And, of course, we know all the scriptures about love. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and we said everywhere you see the word love, you can put the word God, because he is patient and kind and does all that he does for us, for our benefit. See, God's attribute of love is unconditional. He is unconditionally committed to your well-being. And if that's all you take away, is that God is unconditionally committed to your well-being and persuade your heart of that, I'll tell you what, you've got a good foundation. We looked at the fact that God is omnipotent, almighty God. Now, I wanted to find another picture to put up along with it this morning. And again, I'll put up the scriptures for those who are writing them down. And again, please know they're not exhaustive, the scriptures I'm putting up for you. But I wanted to get a picture of a little boy standing like this, tough guy, looking out at his bullies. Because he knows behind him is his big brother, who's big. And you see, that is the Almighty God behind you. He goes before you. He stands behind you. He encompasses you. And he's mighty. He created everything. What can stand against him? And he says, if God is for us, what can stand against us? Nothing. Nothing. And so as we look at our God who is all-powerful, omnipotent, we can just let our hearts be persuaded that he is there, the ever-present help in trouble, and that he loves you. Omnipresent, wow. Just that picture alone stirs my heart. God always with us. And I mean omnipresent goes beyond just that visual of right beside you. He's everywhere. Present in his fullness. Yes. The fullness of his being is always with you. Yes. He is everywhere. You can't get away from him. And you can't get away from his love. It's one of the most beautiful things to understand that you'll never be alone. And not only that, the one who's always with you loves you. Unconditionally committed to you and your well-being. Omnipresent. And again, sorry, I forgot to put the scriptures up about that one. Omniscient. I like it. I always say omniscience. Omniscient. All-knowing. He knows there is nothing beyond the scope of his understanding, his concepts, his attention. He knows. And if you've got a problem, why don't you go to the one who knows everything? I laugh. We call Betty. We say Betty has the anointing for finding the lost thing. She knows how to talk to Papa, and he shows her where the lost things are. And as I many times, the stories she can tell you. And I don't know if you remember, about a month ago, my cell phone went missing, and do you think I could think of where I called it? But it, of course, by the time I realized it was dead, and anyhow, excuse me just a second. And I just sat there, and I finally said, you know, Lord, talked to a few people about it, let's pray about it. I thought, Lord, I want the Betty anointing to find the things, whatever it is. Well, you know, the next day, it happened. I was sitting at my desk, and I had dropped something on the floor that was supposed to go in the garbage, so I bent down to pick it up, and there was my case on my phone is teal blue. The tiniest little bit of teal blue sticking out between my desk and my filing cabinet, and it was just like, what is it? Oh, there was just enough space, barely enough space for that phone to fall in there, and that tiny little tip was just enough to get it out of there. And that's God for us, right? You know, like, yeah, I'm glad I missed the garbage can. Let's put it that way. It's a faith builder. That's right. And to know that he knows it all. He knows your beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but he says, so don't worry about it. Focus today. I've got your tomorrows. He knows. He knows and he understands. And so we can just trust in him and be persuaded in our hearts again that he is for us. He knows and he will reveal to us what we need. Sometimes we ask him for things And it's not time for us to know that quite yet. When am I going to die? Not for you to know. I don't think any of us have asked that, or have you? I haven't, because I don't think I want to know. Lord, when it's time to go, just take me home. I'm good with that. And perhaps I'll just be here till we're all caught up with him in the sky. I'm good with that, too. Then we looked at God being, forgot to put it on the screen. God being eternal and immutable. He exists, his existence never diminishes. He's always been, he always will be. He's everlasting into our future. He's everlasting. And he's immutable, he never changes. He's not fickle. He's not this way today and this way tomorrow. He's unchangeable. And so as we look at all of the things, all of these attributes, they don't change. And that brings us peace because we've got stability in our, I'm going to call him Papa, Father God, in our Abba. We have stability. You know, many of us have never known a stable father in our lives or even a father that was there. Some of us have had absentee fathers or like my situation where my father died when I was 9. So, you know, orphaned in the idea of a father. And so sometimes we don't have a perception of God the way we should. But here we are finding out about our Papa, who loves us. Well, this morning we're going to continue on. And we're going to look at God's goodness, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is actually so good that he is the source of goodness. He alone is the one we should use as the ruler, the place to measure what truly it means to be good. We look at Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness. How is he in goodness? Abounding. Does that mean a little bit?
No.
Abounding, that word abounding in goodness. He is so good. There's no measure to it, if I can put it that way. He's so good. Abounding in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins. And it goes on. Moving on to Psalm 25, verse 8. God, good and upright is the Lord. James 1, 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is good, and it's not. He's not going to turn bad. He's not going to wobble somewhere. He's good, and there is no shadow of turning in his goodness. Good, good Father, we sing that. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. You know, as we were talking this morning, In Sunday morning live, some visuals were coming to me about how good God is. And I was thinking of my friend Jeanette, who's over in Mozambique. And they have a feeding program, and she shows the plates. She usually brings a plate to show us the plate that they used to serve the food on for the children that they're feeding there. And I was sitting there and thinking, man, they don't even have plates, these children. The plates have to be provided for them. And I was thinking also of a movie I'd seen about back in the 14 or 1500s where workers had to use their hands before they hold the gruel. They didn't even give them a bowl. Hold out your hands to eat the gruel. And I was thinking, we were talking about complainers. Because I have a sink full of dirty dishes, and I hate washing dishes. And my thought was, two good things. The dishes are dirty because they had food in them, and I have dishes. And a sink to put them in. And sometimes I can be like the Israelites wandering in the desert with the goodness, flowing of milk and honey. How many of you know that's where we're at? It may not be the promised land of God, but we are in Canada in a place flowing of milk and honey. And we know that there is no reason for anybody in this country to go hungry. There is plenty. And we just need to channel it to the right people. God is good. Is he all the time?
God is good.
Yes. Amen. All my life he has been faithful. I love that song. All my life he has been so, so good. Whether we knew it or not. And it's just like, Lord, help my heart. Holy Spirit, bring to remembrance the goodness when I want to complain. You know, I think about even the body here. And we're so different, all of us. And the giftings we all have are so different. But you know what? It's wonderful, because if we were all arms or all legs or all toenails, or can you imagine what we'd look like? And one of the things I shared this morning in prayer is just like, you know, sometimes the nose complains about the foot because the foot stinks. Yeah, smelly. But I'll tell you what, the nose needs to remember all the work that foot is doing, right? That we have differences, and praise God for the differences, because it makes up a beautiful body. I want you to just take a minute and look around. Seriously, those of you who are facing this way, stand up if you have to, if your neck isn't swiveling. Stand up and take a look around. And I mean, we're light on the floor today because it's a long weekend, and I know a lot of people are away. Do you see the beauty of the body that is here?
Yes.
Do you see the goodness of God to Camrose Community Church?
Yes.
Here, and who he's put in here? He's so, so good.
Yes.
And when you look at your fellow community church family here, you got to say, thank you, God, you're so, so good.
Amen.
Look at these. Look at them. And we can expand that out into the church, within the community, the church across the country, and of course, to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. God's goodness. Sorry, I'm just catching up. God, in Romans, let's see, this is the last one, Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes.
Even dirty
dishes and stinky feet. Even hard situations and circumstances. He says, don't let the enemy get a hold of you and say, see, I don't love you. I'm going
to
work this out for you. Yeah. I have a little poster up across from my desk that I remember to look at every so often when I need to, especially, that says, what are you going to do and how are you going to bless us? It's just like, what are you going to do, Lord, and how are you going to bless us? In all circumstances, something happens that's just like, oh. But so I look at that poster. Nope. What are you going to do and how are you going to use it to bless us? God works all things for good to those who love him, because he is a good, good God. Amen? So when we look at the attribute of God and his goodness, and we talk about his goodness, you know what it includes? It includes his mercy, his graciousness, his long-suffering, or we could say patience. Aren't you glad God has patience with you? Yeah. Yeah. And that he abounds in this goodness and this truth. He gifts to us good gifts. He works everything out for our good. So as we let our hearts be persuaded that he is so, so good, even in those tough times when we want to say, God, where are you? Oh, you can do it for a minute, but then you remember he's right there, because he's omnipresent, right? Right. He's right there. And he'll come alongside because he's a papa who understands, a good God who puts his arm around us and says, I'm for you. We'll work this out and you'll see it turn around to something so good that you'll do nothing but boast about him. I will not boast in anything but Jesus and his cross and his finished work. And as our hearts become persuaded, you know what happens? As we start coming into rest and assurance that it's going to be okay. In the very center of our being, we know it's going to be okay and that he loves me. Well, let's move on to the next G here, and that is he is gracious. And talking about his grace, God's grace gives blessings that are totally unearned, and that you have no merit to deserve them. Whew. It's all about his wonderful gifts. Talk about a good God, hey? Your salvation, health, prosperities, because it's not all about just physical wealth, but prospering your soul. Oh my goodness, and all the things that he has for us. How many of you are glad you woke up this morning, that your eyes flicked open? He's given us life. And about this, the next one of these days, we're going to open our eyes and we'll be in eternal life.
Oh, hallelujah.
Actually, we're kind of living in it now, but we'll see it then. You guys understand what I mean? Yeah. No man deserves any of this. We don't deserve it. We haven't done anything to earn it. It's all through what Jesus did. Grace, amazing grace. It doesn't rely on us. It doesn't rely on any service that you do. It doesn't rely on any good thing that you do. It's wholly on God and his goodwill through the finished work of Jesus. God is gracious, and his grace, again, includes that goodness, his kindness, his mercy, and his love. And if it were not for God's grace, you know what would happen is his holiness would exclude us from his presence. And we're going to look at that in just a minute too. Thankfully, that's not the case. Because his desire was always to have personal relationship with each and every one of us. And so in his grace, he made a way. Through his son Jesus, he made a way. And I'm going to just pop up all these verses for you. So if you want to write them down, you can, or you can go back to them later. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his work. The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And this is with Moses. He paused in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger. Slow to anger, abounding in love. There's that abounding again. And faithfulness, maintaining love to a thousand generations, forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. Romans 1:5, through him we have received grace, that's Jesus, and the apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. We being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. They're all here. I'm not going to quote each one. You can go do some digging. But the free gift is not like the offering. For if by one man's, not like the offense, pardon me. For by one man's offense many died. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounding to many. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. This is our God. I apologize. It's spring. And Ephesians, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Hebrews 4, 6. Let us therefore come boldly before, or 16, you're right. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. 1 Peter 1, 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, which can also be translated grace, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we all know John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send a Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it through him. John 17, 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus, his Son, whom you have sent. Know that good God, that gracious God. Isaiah 43b says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Oh, you're God's. You're his kid. You're his, part of his family. What would the Almighty God do for his kids?
Everything.
The one who loves us so deeply. So when we're looking at this amazing grace, his amazing grace, that doesn't rely on you or any of the services or good things you do. That all just flows out of your love for him. His grace doesn't rely on you at all, just on what Jesus did and us trusting in it. Fully relying on God, fully knowing that it's all about him and his goodwill. Letting your hearts become fully persuaded that God's goodwill toward you is based on nothing you're doing. And that produces assurance in us. It persuades our hearts. You are loved. And nothing you can do or not do will change that love for you. Okay, let's move on to holy. Ooh, holy. Holy fire. God is holy. So what does that mean? What does it mean that God is holy? It means that he is separate from all moral defilement. All of it. He's perfect. And guess what else? He's unsympathetic to evil. And that he's not sympathetic to sin. I'm not saying the sinner, I'm saying to sin.
Amen.
When he sees evil, it angers him.
Yes.
He's referred to as a consuming fire. Remember, he is separate from all moral defilement, and he wants us free from it too. You see, he's not angry at us. He's angry. Whoop! Thank goodness I put the lid on.
He told you to.
Or I just know. Oop, maybe not tight enough. That's okay. It's just water. That's right. Like I said, when he sees us, he loves us, but he hates sin. Sin comes along, as Romans 6:23 puts it, the wages of sin is
death.
God, Jesus says, I've come to give them
life.
And life.
More.
There's that word again. You see, death is opposite of what God wants for us, and sin brings death. There's death of our physical bodies. There's death in the misery of the soul that has given over itself to sin. There is the spiritual death, which is that separation that we've, as believers at one time, experienced from God, and those who don't believe. And there will be a future misery, if I can put it, as we recognize it as hell. When we look at that, death of the body, misery of the soul, spiritual death and separation, and the future misery of hell, we see the power of death. and what it does. But praise God, who's defeated it? Anybody? Jesus, hello. Nobody? Jesus. Jesus defeated death and sin. He, on the cross, victory. Yeah, we already know we didn't. We know we didn't. But our holy God wants us. How do we understand that scripture? He says, be holy as God's holy. Whoa! What? But it is through Jesus we can be. See, we become new creations in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And our holy God wants us present with him. And he found the way. Well, Yoshi, he always knew the way. It wasn't like he went, how am I going to do this? He knew. Before the foundations of the earth, he knew that he would rescue us because of his love. When he knew his holiness would absolutely destroy us in his presence, he thought, I need to make them holy, and here's how it's going to happen. The new birth we have in Christ. If we look at all these scriptures from Habakkuk 1:13, it says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? That's an interesting, and it goes on a little bit more. Because he's long-suffering and patient. Because we were the treacherous at one time. When we were singing how deep the Father's love with us. And that one line that says, I heard my voice among the mockers. Because at one time, thank goodness for God's long-suffering, for his patience. Oops, sorry. I'm going to go back. In Hebrews 12:29, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. Aren't you glad he burned up all the dross? Yes. All the things. You know, it even talks about when there will come a time when all the work, some will come with gold, silver, and I'm sorry, their works, precious stones, and others will come through with straw and sticks and barely make it in by the skin of their teeth. But they're in, and you know what? God has burnt up all of that, so it is not there to shame them. It's done. See, God does things in love. And so, I'm just, you know, can you imagine the person who seconds before they go to the Lord, they've been an atheist, a mocker, a whatever, but give their heart 1 second before they move on to the kingdom of God. How much works do they have? Where is their gold, silver, and precious stones? But the wood, hay, and stubble is gone. Nothing there to shame them. God is good. Isaiah 6:3 says, and they were calling to one another, vision heaven, and they were calling to one another, holy, 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 is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Yes. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy God has provided a way. We were once getting paid the wages of sin, but now, because of Jesus. So when we look at God and his holiness, and we recognize there is no evil or ill intent in him, that through his great love for us and through the cross of Jesus Christ, we've come into freedom. That which was killing us, our sinful nature, our sinful lives, was destroyed by his love. He buried it in the grave. He took it to hell and buried it and left it there. And when we let our hearts be fully persuaded of that, knowing that he bought and brought the way for us to enter into the presence of God, free from sin and evil, so that we won't be destroyed by his holiness. You know what happens? For me, my heart becomes humble. such love that I bow before our holy God in fear and trembling. In fear and trembling because I know of what might have been except, if not for, Jesus and that great demonstration of love. And what flows from my heart is nothing but thankfulness and gratefulness. And my heart is persuaded. That he was willing to give Jesus, his only son, his only righteous son, that we might have eternal life. I really think this is a good time for us to take communion. So we're going to bring the tables out, and I'm going to ask you to come forward, take the bread and the cup. Excuse me. God showed how much he loved us by sending his son into this wicked world to bring us eternal life through his death. I'm talking about his goodness, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to the first part of 8. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. In his holiness as we come. 1 John 2:2. He is the one who took God's wrath against our sin upon himself and brought us into fellowship with God. And he is the forgiveness of our sins. And not only ours, but all the world's. In Mark 14, verses 22 to 25. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, this is my body. And let us remember, by his stripes, we are healed. And as we partake, let's remember the healing and receive the healing that comes through the stripes of Jesus. Let us partake. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Let us partake. And Father, we give thanks for what Jesus did for us. Jesus, we honor you and celebrate you. You be the center as we recognize how good we have it because of your great love for us. Thank you for your broken body, which brought our healing. Thank you for your blood shed, which brought us the new covenant, that we can now boldly go before the throne of grace in our time of trouble, that our sins are forgiven, that we've been made new creations. And Father, the list goes on and on because of our beautiful Savior Jesus, to which we say, glory, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. 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 Well, if you'll pass your cups to the end of the aisle. I want to bless each and every one of you this morning in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Bless you in understanding and knowing the finished work, the completeness of it. Yes. Jesus, who is not a liar, said, "It is finished."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as we go from this place, I hope you found at least one thing, one attribute of God to persuade your heart in. Because he is so good. Amen?
Amen?
Papa loves you. Bless you guys as you go. And we will see you, if not next Sunday, hopefully sometime this week.
Tonight at 6:30
for prayer, if you want to come for prayer meeting. Amen.